thank you for your presence, for your help today. Open the Word of God to our hearts and our minds, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, I do want to say as I begin to share with you today, we have a lot of verses, a lot of things to cover. And so I'm just asking that you'd really kind of go with me as quickly as you can and to listen fast. Okay, in case I get so excited, I get going really quick. Listen fast. I'll try not to do that for some of you, but if I do, just listen fast. Now, the last month we had a faith challenge. This year we're doing 30-day challenges. We've memorized verses. We've done various things. We've encouraged you to get involved in an Acts Fellowship or start one. And last month we had a faith challenge. And we felt like we needed to do the same song, verse 2. So we're doing a faith challenge again. Now, what is our faith challenge? Our faith challenge basically is this, and I'm going to give you some understanding of my understanding of these sorts of things at the moment. And that is this within the context of our DNA as a church. Now, I do want to say I'm going to get into some stuff today that could offend people. Thank you. And I do want to say this. I'm not preaching at any person. I mean, I've got enough trouble in my own life. I can just preach it myself, you know. But I'm not preaching at anybody. But here's the whole point, guys, is God's word, he says this, choose life or you're going to choose death. And then through Moses, he almost pleads. Choose life, please. And yet, the Jewish people, time after time, would pursue the curse. They would choose the curse. And so, you can say, well, God's mean. No, he's not mean. There's just certain laws. I mean, you've all seen that. I hope you have never seen it live, but we've seen it on television acted out in some kind of drama. Somebody's on the roof of a skyscraper, and they're getting ready to jump off. And the crowd, as crazy as they are, might be saying, jump, jump, jump. But there's a policeman, there are people up there on top trying to plead with this person to come back. Don't jump. Well, you know what? The world is crying out to you, jump, jump, jump. Sin, sin, sin. Give me an S. Give me an I. You know, I mean, that's what they do. They're calling you, please, jump, jump, jump. Meanwhile, God and maybe a believer in your life is going, no. Because if you jump, you're going to die. Oh, goodness. So the faith challenge has been this. And if you just pray with me, that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Would we do that right now? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So here in this prayer that the Master taught us, there's a kingdom prayer and there's a personal prayer. There's a kingdom prayer that says, Father, bring your kingdom, bring your will, bring your purpose, bring your plan into this earth. And then there's this prayer over here that says, Jesus, I need to eat today. And then there's some other things as well. But what we're understanding is our DNA as a church. Now, let me say about some things about DNA. DNA is that code that determines and decides what you're going to be like. Mm-hmm. It's within the cell on the molecular scale. And it actually, that code begins to say whether you're going to be tall or short, whether you're going to be, you know, big boned or thin framed, whether you're prone to, you know, middle age spread, whether you're going to go bald or you're going to go gray, whether you all those things that there's a code in the DNA. Now, churches have DNAs as well. Yeah. Before we get that, though, I was reading a book, very interesting book. And I won't give you all the details about it, but this person was talking about the power of belief. And they were actually saying, this was a secular book, and they were saying that they've actually are starting to discover that if you've got faith, it literally can change parts of your DNA. It's just like the research that they've done, and I've seen this now from two or three different sources, that say there's something happens in your brain when you begin to pray. Heart rate changes. Endorphins are released. There's something about that verse, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Something happens when you begin to pray physically in your body. So there's a DNA that we understand in ourselves, but there's a spiritual DNA as well. And so we understand that. Now, there are great gathering churches. We have two or three of those in our city. The Christian churches, we're a Christian church, so I'm talking about the denomination, the Christian churches. Rocky Mountain Christian, Lifebridge Christian. They're great gathering churches. That's in their DNA. Well, you know what? We're not a gathering church. Now, every church should be gathering. Every church should be reaching out to the lost and to the needy and to those that are poor. We should be reaching out to them and saying, we can help you because we do have the answer. Every church that preaches the name of Christ has the answer. But our DNA is a little different. I mean, the basic DNA, I mean, you know, you can look at my family and see my boys and say they came from the same family, but they've all got different, you know, variations. That's what I'm talking about. And so here we are, and part of our DNA is simply this. I don't understand why, but God has chosen us as a church and a ministry to believe Him for souls from every nation. And to believe Him for release of end time finances. Now see, if you get connected to this vision, what will happen is you'll begin to have a heart that's got a longing to see people come to Christ throughout the world, not just in Longmont. And you'll begin to believe God for release of finances. It could make some of you millionaires.
Yep.
I've seen it happen in this church.
Yep. Right.
I have. Now, because that's our DNA, you need to understand. And it's critical to understand what your DNA is, because if you don't know what it is, you'll always be frustrated. Physically or spiritually or whatever it is. Now, here's where we're going to get into some stuff that's a little dicey. As we begin to pray for kingdom things, here's an amazing thing. Right now, Pastor Daniel from Nepal, and I'd like to call him apostle because he is an apostle. Pastor Daniel, D.K. Limbu Daniel, he's in Germany with Matthias and Bernd. Now, is that just cool? That's just so cool. I mean, that's just cool. I don't know what to say. That's cool. And, yeah, it's God, but it's cool. And this week, we were at home, and they're working, doing something. They got a phone call, and it was Matthias. And he said, Mark, I just wanted to hear your voice. Daniel and I were talking, and everything we talked about, you were in the middle of it. We just had to call and hear your voice. I thought, oh, Jesus. Oh, that's precious. So here we are, guys, in the midst of a relationship between this apostle, and who's now, God's putting him in Germany. Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing. Now, he'll be here, I think, in 2 weeks. So don't miss Pastor Daniel. He'll be here in 2 weeks with us. So how exciting. But you see, that's the thing we're talking about. So as we begin to pray for kingdom prayers, when Pastor Marek called this week, or he didn't call, we emailed, and he's just brokenhearted. Grieved, you know, and said, I need you to be praying for me. And you know what? I'd already been praying for him. See, there's a connection by the Spirit. I knew there was something was going down. And I didn't know what it was, just pray, you know. And I still don't know the outcome, don't know the details. Don't need to, but we're praying. There's a connection. But as we're praying for kingdom prayers, and I want you to know, thank you for praying for Patty this week in Israel, but one of the prayers that we're praying here is that the season of Aaron's rod If you don't understand that too much, I've asked, had some people ask me, Pastor, would you teach that again? But it's in one of my books as well. You can just teach, get that book, read it, and you'll see the season of Aaron's rod is that moment where God stands up and defends Israel. He's getting ready to do it. I tell you what's going on with our government. It's totally crazy. It's absolutely insane that we're now supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria. It's insanity. It is insanity. And besides that, it is a proxy war against Israel. You need to understand that. And so these are days. So we're praying and believing for that. Now that's a kingdom prayer. And I want to encourage you to this. Whatever's in your heart, whether it's South America or it's Great Awakening in America, or maybe just even believing God for these chairs to be filled, as you pray those kingdom prayers, you can expect God then to answer your personal prayers. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Father, thank you for my daily bread. I'll often do that, leaving Wednesday night prayer. I did it this week as Matthew and I were driving home, and we had a tremendous time of prayer and just repenting. I tell you what, you say, well, why didn't you pray for rain to come for the forest fires in Colorado? Don prayed the best prayer we could pray. Lord, forgive us for our sin, because it's our sin that causes God's judgment to come. So if we repent, that's the best thing we can do. And so here it is. And so we had that kind of prayer on Wednesday night. It was a wonderful time of prayer. And as we left, Matthew and I got in the car and I said, Father, thank you for meeting my needs. See, we prayed the kingdom prayer. And now, Father, now I'm asking for my daily needs. And I want to encourage you to begin to link your own personal needs, whatever it is. You've got a rent payment, or you've got a mortgage payment, you've got a car payment, and I know that's pressing on you, but I tell you what, instead of when that thing tries to rise up in you, and what are we going to do, I tell you what, turn your heart, and if you don't know what else to pray for, pray for me. Pray for this church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Vacation Bible School. Actually, I like to call it the alternative to Vacation Bible School, because it's a little different than normal Vacation Bible School. But Father, cause kids to come out of the woodwork. Yes. Let those little feet be running all over this building that week in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, I'm asking, because see, you prayed kingdom prayer. Father, now I have a need to get my mortgage paid. Listen to me, this will change your life. I've lived this way now for 35 years. 37. I'm thinking about ministry. And you say, well, you don't have much to show for it. Well, I've been doing it for 37 years, and here I am, and I'm not any... it's that DNA. No, it's not. It's the refrigerator door. Okay. Oh, praise God. Patty's been away and we've been eating fine, let me tell you. Actually, maybe we have. She cooks really good food for us. Maybe we can. Oh, kind of fell off the wagon, so to speak. No. Praise God. So what I'm trying to get at, guys, is we've got to begin to pray kingdom prayers. And as we pray those prayers that are in the Father's heart, He knows we have need of food and clothes and cars. He knows that. So as we align ourselves with His will, then we can pray this way. Now, you know, it wasn't too long ago. I was out walking in our property and praying, and it's one thing that's nice about our property is you can walk on our property, and it's kind of like a personal park, give or take. But it's nice. And so I was praying Romans 8:32. Does anybody know that verse by heart? I hope you do. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not then with him freely give us all things? And I was just meditating on that, and I was beginning to pray it, and this kind of rose up in me. Nothing I ask is too great. Nothing I ask. So I was running around the property. Nothing I ask for is too great. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not then with him freely give us all things? There's nothing I can ask for that's too great. Nothing I can ask for that's too great. And then I heard in my heart, and the Father speaking to me by the Spirit said this. And you know, I didn't hear him with these ears, but you know, he kind of speaks in your heart. And I heard this. And nothing that I ask for is too great. I rebuke that. No. I mean, you know, I knew that was the Holy Spirit. You can ask for whatever you ask for, son, and nothing. I gave you my son. What else could I give you? Yeah. But I want you to know, when you start stepping into that kind of covenant talk, God has a right to talk too. And say, okay, son, I want this. I want that in your life. I expect this from you. He has a right to ask for it. If you're a Christian, he has a right to ask for anything in your life. Who you marry, where you work, where you go to church, where you live. He has a right to say, you'll do this. So, well, that's not fair. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. Two ways. He's creator God. He's redeemer God. So if you're a Christian, you're bought twice. Once by creation, once by redemption. Now, the question for us is, if this is our spiritual DNA, we gotta figure this out so that we can get our prayers answered. And I think this faith challenge has challenged some of us. For we're going, whoa, I won't even have you raise your hand. How many of you got an answer? How many of you got a partial answer? How many of you were wishing and hoping and found out your raw faith wasn't very high? How many of you have been believing for lunch all month and haven't had any lunch all month? See, it's no fair to cop out at 2 o'clock. If you don't get lunch, you don't get lunch. That's what it is. So the whole point, guys, is this. We got to figure out, is there something wrong? Now, I've brought something here today. We're going to have some fun. This is not original with me. Matthew, would you come and make sure everybody gets a fork? Okay? I want everybody to have a fork. Maybe you could disperse it quickly, maybe with some other folks. Now, I'm sorry it's plastic. But you know what? I didn't have enough metal forks to give them away. I was thinking about that this morning, and you know, when Patty and I got married, she of course had on her whatever it was, a certain kind of silverware, and we got a really beautiful one, and over the years, one of the reasons what we did is we went to Sam's or Costco's or something and got some cheap metal forks because when we have people come over, you know, we're losing some of these forks and these knives that are really expensive. I mean, I got online to find out how much these forks were. I just thought, man, I wish you'd have asked for 20 sets rather than the 12 or the 10 we had. Because they're like $50, $60, $70, $80 depending on the fork. What happens is we found out that when you have a dinner and people come over, they throw the whole plate in the trash, including my $75 fork. Yep, that's right. And then I don't know it, so it gets thrown out. Yep. So that's why we've got cheap metal ones at home, and that's why I brought these today. But you're welcome to take this and keep this. But has everybody got a fork? Okay? All right, everybody got a fork. Praise the Lord. Okay, what did you bring a fork for? Well, here's what I brought a fork for. You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant? Now, let's not talk about a restaurant. Because you're at home now, and Thanksgiving, that's the time. Thanksgiving meal. Y'all probably have big Thanksgiving meals. And if you're like at our house, I mean, we've got table service for a certain number of people, but on Thanksgiving, you blow through silverware. You know what I'm saying? And so I mean, you've been eating all this wonderful food, you know, turkey or roast beef or whatever it is, ham, whatever it is you're eating, and I mean all the trimmings and all that stuff. And then the hostess will say to you, mom will say to you, she'll say, everybody's getting their plates together, and she says, save your fork. Keep your fork. And when they say that, what do they mean? What's coming? Dessert's coming. The best is coming. And so this fork, I know it's plastic and I apologize. I'm sorry I couldn't give you a silver one, but here it is, guys. The best is yet to come. The best is coming. The best is coming. So save your fork. Okay? Because the best is coming. And so here's the thing, though, guys. There's pressure on you, pressure on me. This week, what was going on in the church and the families, I thought, Jesus, what is going on? We blew the shofar and began to pray. And I expect great answers and testimony. But here's the fact. We've got to hone our faith so that our raw faith produces quicker than it's been producing. And young people, this goes for you too. You need to start believing God. You need a faith challenge. Lord, I'm praying for this nation. I'm praying for this people. I'm praying for my pastor. I'm expecting God, you to do this. Whatever he is, the promises he's putting in your heart. And then I'm believing for my daily bread. Kids, there's no reason why you can't get needs met. Mom and Dad don't have the money. They don't need the money. You believe God for it. Yeah, exactly. Now, I remember when, it just comes to mind right now, I remember when we went to Poland to that, and we ministered in Koszalin, and our kids were little. I still remember Jesse telling money, you march into our accounts in Jesus' name. And you know, we saw money come in, and all five of us went to Poland that year. It was awesome. But we'd do that time after time. Money, you march in here in the name of Jesus. That kind of became our phrase then. Money, march in here in Jesus' name. And it did. It came in by $20, $10. This check come from here, came from over here. It was amazing. God will do it for you. God will do it for you. Now, turn to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to get into the Word here, and I want to say some things to you. Luke chapter 17 is Jesus teaching, and he's teaching about faith. And there's many places that talk about faith. But he says, chapter 17, then Jesus said to his disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe to those who through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and that he be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again and say to you, repent, you shall forgive him. Now at this point, the disciples said, man, Lord, you've got to increase our faith. Now let me just talk to you about increasing faith. I've heard Christians say this, oh Lord, increase our faith. Oh Lord, increase our faith. And I believe every Christian knows that you can't please God without faith. That you know intuitively, it's been inside you when you get saved, when you get born again, when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you know that you got to have faith to please Him. And you know that if you just had a little more faith, you'd get more answers to prayer. We all know that. And so here's the disciples saying, Lord, increase our faith. Well, guys, let me tell you, you can pray that prayer until you're blue in the face. And chances are your faith's not going to get increased. Because we know this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the spoken word of Christ. So it's so critical that that's what Matthew was talking about earlier. You've got to open this book. You've got to find the promises of God, like I taught about a couple weeks ago. By the promises of God, you take on the divine nature. So as you take hold of the promises of God, begin to believe God for His promises to be manifest in your life, something transpires of the very nature of God being worked in you. That's one of the reasons we want answers to prayer, because it proves God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, He doesn't need proof, but it proves it to us. And then it works in us His character. So you get increased faith, not by praying for it. I mean, I don't think it's a sin to ask Jesus to increase your faith. But the fact is, you're not going to get increased faith until you open the Word of God and begin to believe it. And then the Lord said, He said, if you would have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this tree. Uh-oh, there goes Jesus again talking about saying. See, He says, if you got faith, you're going to say. You're going to say what you got. You just listen to someone, you'll find out real quick if they got faith or not. Tell you what, they got faith in the government, they got faith in sickness, they got faith in the economy crashing, they got faith in getting laid off of work. They got, you see what I'm saying? You got faith in something. It's what you've been listening to. And then he says you'll be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea. It would obey you. And then he said, but which of you having a servant? Now guys, what's he talking about? He's talking about faith. And he says, so if you've got a servant, faith, and he's plowing or feeding the cattle, will you say to him, when he's come into the field, oh, go sit down and take a rest? And will not rather say to him, make ready with what I may eat and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and have drunk, and afterward you shall eat and drink? Does he not thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded of him? He says, I don't think so. Listen, guys, your faith is a servant that works 24/7.
Yeah. Yes.
And your faith ought to be working 24/7. You know, when I go to bed, I'm believing. You go to bed because my faith's working. That's the rest of faith. Now, I want to say something quickly, and this is where I don't want anybody to think I'm preaching to anybody specifically. I said it last week or the week before, and I really mean it. Every sin that's in the world is in this church. Or I should say every sin that's in the world is in the church. Okay? I'm being more specific. So I'm not picking on anybody. Guys, I want everything out of the way that's hindering me from getting answers to prayer. I mean, I got to have answers to prayer. I got to have them. I mean, you might be able to coast along, but I can't. We got to have answers to prayer. And so I'm getting desperate about that. So we're in a quest to hone our faith so we can get answers to prayer. And so today I'm going to appeal to you on three or four levels. And so I don't want anybody to get mad at me. I'm not preaching at you specifically. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, well, then you argue with Him, not me. Okay? And I want you to know I've had to work through all these myself, working through them all myself. Number one, I've got 4 points. Number one is this. Before we talk about number one, I want to say this. Faith is my servant. And I believe I told you this last week. Sin or faith will not serve sin. You got to get this. Faith will not serve sin. Good time to say we love our pastor. But the fact is, faith will not serve sin. And so let's just talk. Number one is this. Sin's bad for you. I mean, duh. It's bad for you. Romans 6, is it 23 that said the wage of sin is what?
Death.
So whenever you sin, guess what? You've sown for death.
Yep.
Every one of you who go to work this week, at the end of the week or the month, however it works for you, you can expect to be paid because that's what you're owed. Mm-hmm. When you sin, you're going to get... You payment's coming. I'd like you to read with me a couple verses. And if you got your Bible, it'd be awesome if you'd turn there, because that's going to be a little lengthy passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the apostle starts, I'm going to read in verse 9, and he says this. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What are we talking about? Kingdom prayers. We've linked our kingdom prayers to what kind of prayers? Daily bread prayers. Now, I'm not sure that the apostle's saying the unrighteous. Now, he's talking to the church. So he's. I don't think he's talking about the unrighteous lost. I think he's talking about the unrighteous saved. Now, we can debate that. One way or the other. But he says, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Now listen, then he begins to list things. Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is Paul saying this. He's saying, if you're doing these things, you're not going to get kingdom. You're not going to get the kingdom. And let's go on here. Don't throw anything. He says, and such were some of you. He's saying some of you were like these people. You were fornicators. You were adulterers. You were idolaters. You were homosexual. He went through this whole thing. Some of you were like this. But then he says this. But you are washed. Help, Lord. But you are washed. You are sanctified. That means set apart. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, the problem is so many people look at those lists of sin and say, well, you know, once a sinner, always a sinner. Once a drunk, always a drunk. That's not what this says. You were once that, but now, oh my. You were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified. And then he says this, all things are lawful to you, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Wow. Wow. And then he talks about food for the body and body for food. And then he goes on and he says, and the Lord's for the body. And he says, God, I don't have time to go through this and diagram all this for you. But he says, and God has both raised us up. And God has raised up the Lord, will also raise us up by his own power. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? What's the answer? God forbid. What? Don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, he said, shall be one flesh. But he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does outside the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. You know, we could talk about this in a number of areas. Verse 13, talking about food. If you overeat, you're sinning against your own body. If you overdrink, you're sinning against your own body. This isn't just about fornication, but it applies to it all here. Wow, then he says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So friends, here it is. Sin messes up your body. And then he says in Galatians chapter 6, he says this, you're sowing, and you're not going to mock God. Whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap it. You sow sin. What is it? If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind? America has sown to the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind, literally. Okay, so number one, sin's bad for you. So, remember, we're putting this in the context of getting answers to prayer. Well, sin's bad for me. It's just bad for my body. So, don't sin. Stop it. You ought to turn. No, don't do that. I was going to say, turn to. Yeah, exactly right. Turn to somebody and say, stop it. But I don't want any fights. I don't want any fights. Number two. And this is, of course, a key, isn't it? Sin hinders prayer. And I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 3. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says this. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another. That's why you need to be in church every time you can get an opportunity. While it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. He says in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Here's what happens, friend. Sin hardens your heart. And when your heart gets hard, unbelief comes. And when unbelief comes, you don't have any faith. And therefore, you can't believe God. You get condemned. And I tell you what, it's hard to believe God for a specific answer when there's condemnation in your heart. I mean, you don't even want to come to church. Let alone come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You don't want to come to God when there's condemnation in your life. So he's saying, listen, your heart will get hardened by sin and that will stop your faith. Now, Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if that thing in my heart, you know what it's like. I had this happen to me this week. Something popped into my head and I thought, uh-oh. Because I've had that before. I went, uh-oh. Because I knew everywhere I was going, that thing was going to dog me. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking, man, I better get the answer now. Because if I don't get the answer now, I began to pray, I began to rebuke, I began to come against that thing. I began to find other things to do. Because I knew if I didn't, because that thing was trying to, that it was trying to get in my heart to get me to do it. You know what I'm saying? And I was going, oh, no. And praise God. Okay, I had a victory. Yes, amen. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this, husbands and wives, and he's talking to the husbands, and he says, husbands, you need to honor your wife as the weaker vessel, and you know, you're joint heirs in this life together. And then he says this, the Apostle Peter, oh, you know, he was married. He understood. He had a mother-in-law. I know my Catholic brothers beg to differ, but Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, so he must have had a wife. Okay, so Peter said, listen, if you get into a fight with your wife, if you don't honor your wife, your prayers will be hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. Now, ladies, don't you think, oh, yeah. Don't you egg us on. Don't egg us on, ladies. You need to honor us, too. Matter of fact, Scripture says you need to respect us. Obey us. You'd be surprised over the years how many women come to me, you know, talking about getting, they want to get married in a, you know, their husband, their fiance, and they're there, and they say, well, I don't want to do that vow. What vow? I know what they're talking about. I don't want to do that vow. Which vow? The one that says I have to obey him. Oh. Well, you better talk to Jesus. Because if you're going to have me do the traditional vows, that's going to be there. Now, you can make up your own vows. State of Colorado, you can marry anything you want to. Yeah, marry a rock, yeah. At any rate, it'll hinder your prayers. You get in a fight with someone, it'll hinder your prayers. You know, and Jesus said this, Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, have the faith of God. Verse 23 says, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in sin, not doubt in your heart, but believe whatsoever things you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever things you say. Verse 24. And when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. Verse 25 says, and when you're praying, do what?
Forgive.
So see, if you've got unforgiveness working in your heart, that sin's working in your heart, your prayer it won't get answered. Won't get answered. So, number one, sin is bad for you. Number two, sin hinders your prayer. Now, number three, sin will disqualify you from the race. Chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. The apostle again writes in verse 24, he says, don't you know that they who run a race, all of it run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain the prize. And every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Say temperate.
Temperate.
Moderate. Don't you know that now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are running for an incorruptible crown. I therefore... So run not uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beats the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself also might be a castaway. You know, friends, probably one of the saddest things in the sports world, there's always stuff in the sports world, Lance Armstrong. Isn't that so sad? Here's a man who was, what, seven-time champion of the French bicycle race, the finest bicycle racer the world has ever seen. You know, became a multimillionaire because this company and that company wanted to promote him and sponsor him. And here we come to find out, not only was he using drugs, but then he threatened people over it to lie for him. He's been disqualified, stripped of all of that honor and shame. Now he has to live his life in shame. Guys, I want you to understand something. Sin will disqualify you. And turn over to Hebrews. I'm trying to appeal to you. I hope you're hearing me. I want God's blessing on your life. Guys, I want God's blessing on my life. And the only way I know if there's sin in your life, you've got to hear about it. I just can't pat you on the back and say, okay, go ahead and sin because God loves you. God does love you. God does love you. I'm trying to get you to in a position so the blessing of God will come on your life. Do you know what the scripture says in this hour? Well, it doesn't say this hour, but this is the hour he's talking about. We got itching ears. Tickle me, tickle me, tickle, make me feel good. Listen, we have got to serve the Lord so we can get the blessing. That's what I want for your life. You know, two of my boys here today, it's kind of nice to be able to say, the reason we disciplined them, there were days I thought, well, I have to use the paddle again today? Oh, again? What does it take? Now, your two older brothers are convinced you got far fewer swats than they did. Mm-hmm. Okay, no. I'm not sure. There's just days of like, what? What? Guys, sometimes as a pastor I think, what? How long have you heard me preach? Well, someday I'll get my healing. What? Well, I don't know that I want to give any more money. What? I tell you what, I love it when today I actually heard faith in your whoop when Matthew said it's time for tithes and offering. Sometimes you do it by whoop. I heard it today. Yeah! You know why? You'd do the same thing if you understood that giving is going to release a harvest into your life. I mean, I wish I could tell you some of the stuff, Patty, and the levels of giving. I just wish I could, but if I did, I'd lose it. I don't want to lose the reward. Well, where are you blessed? Duh. Amen. That's exactly right. People don't. Well, why are you? Because I am a sower. I'm not a bucket plunker once in a while. I'm a sower. We hunt ways to sow money. Glory to God. It works. Sometimes I wonder if it's going to work, but it works. 37, 38 years in this thing. Oh God, what about my future? Well, I guess he took care of me the last 37. He'll take care of me the next 37, and that ought about do it. So sin will disqualify you. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. And we've preached this so many times, but here it is, guys. Verse 39, he's talked about all these great men and women of faith, those who've overcome and those who've been martyred, those who've been tortured and those who've overcome, those who've been raised from the dead, and those, I tell you what, it's just an amazing chapter. You ought to read it. And then he says this, of whom the world was not worthy. I tell you what, our brothers and sisters dying right now at the hand of Islam and dying at the hand of other places in the world, I tell you what, those brothers and sisters, the world is not worthy of them.
That's right.
And then he says this, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and these all, meaning all these now before, having received witness through faith, received not the promise. Then listen to what he says. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Friends, it's just simply this. Now, I'm not discrediting or I'm not talking ill of any of the armed services. But there's something about the Marines. There's esprit de corps. There's something about them. That's why they can say the few, the proud, the Marines. One of the finest fighting forces in the world. Talk about what it you would. Band of Brothers. Probably a lot of you have seen the movie, read the book. There's something about, those were army people, but it's the same thing, see. There's something about, and this is an amazing statement that the apostle makes, that these great people of faith will not get their reward without us. That tells me I must run the race to finish.
I don't feel like coming to church this morning because I was up late last night.
My son Joshua calls. I don't know why he does this to me. Just guess when he called. It was midnight. Well, Dad, you're still up. Marine Corps captain. No, son, I just have a gift that when I answer in the middle of the night, I try and act awake because in case I need to be. Don't give me this. I'm just a hard waker-upper. Train yourself. You don't need to come up grumpy. No, I'm not talking to anybody specifically. He said, well, Dad, you sound like you're awake. I said, I've trained myself. Well, at any rate, 12 o'clock, Joshua. Yeah, thank God he's not in another part of the world. You know, but he had some fun things to share, and he'd been at a rugby banquet, so there was some fun things to share. I don't want you to think I'm bragging about him, so I won't tell you anymore. But it was fun. It was good. Well, I saw 1 o'clock come. He long hung up after that. I said, I saw 1 o'clock come. I saw 2 o'clock come. I saw 3 o'clock come. Wow. I thought, what? I should have called in sick this morning. You know, pastors can do that too. After all, I only got 2.5 hours sleep. Maybe an hour and a half sleep, because I get up early. Well, the kids are... Give them an example to follow. Okay, all right. I'm going to get into trouble. But here's my point, guys. I think of, you know, David and Bathsheba. Good, thank you, Lord. What's that got to do with esprit de corps? What's that got to do with me running my race? Friends, here I'm going to preach this first. The Bible says concerning David, King David, that in the season when kings went out to war, he was home. He sent his army. Now, I'm going to add to this. I think I'm okay within the boundary of what I'm saying. The story is David looked off his balcony and he saw Bathsheba in the moonlight. And he called her up, and of course she responded. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to finish my story about esprit de corps in just a moment. Let me tell you something. You listen to me. I don't know what happened. It just happened and I had an affair. No, sir, you've been thinking about it. You've been meditating it. You've been putting that thing down in your heart and you've been planning it. I'll tell you what I think happened. I think David, before they went out to war, had been looking off that balcony and innocently enough saw Bathsheba. Woohoo! Pretty soon he, woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. One day she caught his eye, or he caught her eye. She's down there, oh, the king's looking at me. You know, probably the first time she covered up. I'm just acting this out. Sin does not happen, just happen. Jumped on me. Oh, I couldn't do anything. You could. You'd been meditating on it. You'd been thinking about it. You'd been planning it. And pretty soon, it grows into full-blown sin. So when David called her, listen, a godly woman would say, king, I'm sorry you're the king. You can do whatever you want to with me, but I'm a godly, pure woman. Now, she may not have acted that way. I mean, you know, but she said, no, I decline the offer. You see what I'm saying? She didn't. All right, so she's pregnant. David says, uh-oh, my goose is cooked. Or whatever they said in Hebrew. I'll hatch a plan. I'll bring Uriah home, Bathsheba's husband. Well, David, I tell you what, it's amazing. Oh, so Uriah comes home. Reports to the king, yes, sir. With the business, and the king says, well, go on home. You can go back to the front tomorrow. Go on home. Take a little R&R. Knowing that if Uriah and Bathsheba, you know, Uriah would want to come home and, you know, spend some time, have a home-cooked meal. Little candlelight. I mean, he's been away. Do I need to paint any more of a picture? Okay. We're all adults here. So the thing that happens is David didn't count on Uriah being a Marine who says, you know, how can I go home and have a home-cooked meal and lie in the arms of my wife all night long when my soldiers are facing death? I won't do it. So you know the story. David plots his death then. Not only is he an adulterer now. Now he's got to cover his adultery by committing murder. Guys, sin will get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, guys, you might think you're getting away with it, but you're not. And I want to say this now. I'm not putting anything on you. Lord Jesus, I'm going to run my race the best I can, whether anyone follows me or not. You remember the story of Achan. The children of Israel getting ready to go into the promised land, and they come, and there's one nation that they got to fight. And what was Jerusalem? No, it was Jericho. And so they defeated Jericho, and Jericho, listen to this, guys. Now, this is a teaching on the tithe, and I won't go very far here, but it's a teaching on the tithe. Jericho was the first city. God said, it's a holy city unto me. That means anything that you take out of there is mine. Sounds like the tithe. It's the tithe, guys. We're not under legalism, but it's still a kingdom law. Jericho is mine. Anything that's in there is a curse. You know your tithe is a curse? Some of you aren't blessed because you're not tithers, because you're keeping the thing that's cursed. You mean the tithe's cursed? Because, yes, God says it's mine. You keep it, it's cursed. This is how it works. And so Jericho, this guy went in there, and he were fighting, boom, killing people. Ah, boom, you know? And he saw gold and silver and some really good, and he took them, hit them. They go out to battle against a little country, little city, and they get beat. The prophet, then, of course, Joshua is now the prophet of God. He's the man of God. And he says, what's God? What's wrong, God? Why can we be defeated? We should be undefeatable. You know, men in covenant with God are undefeatable. That's why America was undefeatable. World War I, World War II. We kicked God out of the schools in 1962, and a little nation in Southeast Asia kicks our butt. This is not hard to figure out for people who understand spiritual things. Okay, but I digress. So Achan, a lot to this tribe, to this clan, to this family, to Achan. Achan's sin kept the whole nation from going in, brought judgment to everyone. So my point is this, guys, and I'm talking about myself, and believe me, I'm not pointing my finger. Because I understand. There's enough stuff in my house to get cleaned up. Okay? But I understand this. It's possible my sin is going to keep us from going in to the promised land. So sin is bad for you? Sin hinders prayer? Who doesn't want their prayers answered? And sin will disqualify you from the race. And finally, my fourth point to beg with you and to plead with you is this. Sin keeps you from fellowship with Jesus. I'm running out of time. I can't turn to every verse, but I'm going to do my best. In 1 John, oh, please hear this, friends. If you don't believe me that sin's bad for you, that's one thing. If you don't care if your prayers get answered, that's another. If you don't care whether you're qualified or disqualified for the race, that's another. But my hope is that you love Jesus enough to say, if there's sin in my life, Lord, I want to stop it. He is my shield and my exceeding great reward. That song, thank you, Matthew, for leading that today. Lord, you are all I want. Lord, you're all I need. He says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one to another in the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we've not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's a propitiation. He's a sacrifice for our sins and not ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. And by this we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar and his truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. And by this we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him then ought also himself to walk even as he walked. You know, friends, Jesus said this in John chapter 14. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and the Father himself will love you, and we will manifest ourselves to you. See, this is it, guys, a kingdom prayer. I'm following Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus. And when I pray a kingdom prayer, he says, I will manifest myself to you in manifestation of daily bread. So I'm walking with him. See, guys, come on, got to get it. Kingdom things, keeping the commandments, walking with him in love. I tell you what, he manifests himself by answers to prayer. Boom. Now, Second Corinthians, almost finished. There is hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the apostle says this. He says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wow. Guys, do you see this? I hope you're beginning to see this. I hope you're beginning to catch this. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Verse 42 says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believes in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and that he were cast into the sea. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life maimed than to enter into fires that never be quenched. And he says, then he says, and if your foot offends you, and then he says, if your eye offends you. Now, friends, let me just say what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying, if you sin with your hand, cut off your hand. He's not saying, if you sin with your foot, cut off your foot. He's not saying these things. He's saying this. We understand that because the Scripture says in Matthew 12 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, wickedness comes out of your heart. So Jesus isn't figuratively saying, go cut this off. But my question to you is this. If you really love Him, will you not cut off that thing that is chasing you? Whatever that sin is that's chasing you, I don't know what it is. Would you not cut that thing off? He said, Jesus, I love you more than I love that stinking sin. Jesus, I love you more than I love that adultery, that fornication. I love you more than I love that beer or that drug. I love you more than I love that juicy gossip. I love you more than that fear that chases me. I love you more than that stingy spirit that keeps me from giving. I love you more. I do, and I say, I believe that about this congregation. I believe that. You know, guys, I think of those people who've sinned and offended young ones in Christ. I don't want to be one of those. I don't want any of you offended because I fail. But you know, more importantly, I don't want us to offend Him because of our sin. So guys, sin's bad for you. It's going to impact your future. There is a moment, harvest is going to come into your life. You can ignore it. You can be like an ostrich, stick your head in the sand, say, it's not going to happen to me, not going to happen to me, not going to happen to me. You know what? You might get through this world and not see any consequence, but there's going to be a consequence. It's going to catch up with you. Could be that sin hinders your prayer. And I tell you what, I'm desperate for some answers to prayer. Number three, sin will disqualify you from the race. I want us to run. If you've been offended by some Christian who sinned, I apologize. But I tell you what, you need to get up and you need to start running. You need to, that guy, I don't care what he did or what she did. I don't care what that pastor did. I don't care what my parents did. I don't care what this person. They could be hypocrites. Well, they are if they're sinning. But it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve Jesus. You got to come to a point, guys, where you grow up enough to say, that person's a hypocrite, and it doesn't matter. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then finally, guys, let me appeal to you this way. Lord, you are my shield and my exceeding great reward. Lord, who else like the disciples? Jesus said, guys, are you going to leave? I kind of feel like that, you know. Had a church that, you know, when you have a church that's four times as big as this one, and I think, where are all those people? Are you going to leave too?
No, not me. I'm not.
I mean, just some point you got to say, I'm going to follow Him. Yeah. And I do it because I love Him. I was talking with Uncle Peter. I guess I shouldn't call him Uncle Peter. Pastor Peter. Officer Peter, whatever we call him now. Officer Eric, I guess. And we were talking one day, and just we were experiencing some hurt from someone. And, you know, we looked at one another and said, you know, we're in this for Jesus. I'm not in it for any person. You know, I thank God for my wife. I think if it hadn't been for Patty, who knows where I'd have been. Thank God for a good wife. Somebody please tell her that. Which she knows. But you know what? We need one another, and I need you. You need me, and I don't want to shame Jesus. I want Him to be proud of me. And I tell you, if no other thing, whatever that sin is chasing you guys, just compare it. I want Him. You know what, you might say, I've done that and I still don't have a deliverance. I tell you what, this is it. Jesus, I'm going to keep my eye on you. Here's a verse, and I close now. It's been great, tremendous blessing to me, and I've preached it, but you need to hear it. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And I've often said, Lord, my soul doesn't seem to be prospering very well. You know what I'm And then one day I was reading the Psalms, and I was reading Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 4, 1 and 4 said this, the Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. So see, friends, I can't even restore my own soul. I can't fix my own emotions. I can't fix my own brain. I can't fix my own habits. I can't fix anything about me. But he said, as my shepherd, he would restore my soul. Friends, today, if you're in sin, you're caught in sin, and you don't know what to do, I tell you what, do the right thing. And let me give you just a quick out. I want to give you an out, and it's this. Repent. Say, Lord, I've not been living right. I've been living for myself. I've been living selfishly. Sin has been dominating my life, and prayers I know are not being answered the way they need. I tell you what, guys, can I just tell you something? And I don't say this as a shame to you. It's a shame to me, but it's not a shame to you. We ought to have people up here on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, say, Mark, I got to tell you what God did for me this week. Mark, I got to tell you what God did for me this week. I got a testimony. I should have to say, no, not today. We'll have a special testimony Sunday because I got to preach the word so that you'll get those testimonies. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a shame on me that you're not getting more answers to prayer. So if you're sinning your life, guys, you need to repent. Repent means I'm going to change how I'm living. And even if you feel like you're bound and you're addicted to whatever it is you're chasing, that thing's chasing you, I tell you what, you need to do what's right. It may be about a relationship. It might be in a situation, an addiction, literally. It could be something else. And there will be a tearing. There will be a hurting. There will be a pain. But I tell you guys, there's going to come a greater pain if you don't act now. If you don't repent now. I tell you. Well, I'm not going to go there. Okay, praise God. So we apply the Word of God. We repent. We ask the Lord to forgive us. We apply the Word of God. We get ourselves in fellowship. We submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. We focus on Him because we love Him and we want to serve Him. Amen? Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this great congregation. And Father, I cry out that, Lord God, sin would not have dominion over us. Father, we need answers to prayer. Our nation needs our prayers. Our state and our governor need our prayers. And they don't need religious stuff. They need answers. They need the lightning to fall in the form of answers to prayer. A godly people who, when we cry out, Lord, you'll hear us and answer. Lord, there are nations who need us. A church in Kushala needs us this night. Brothers Daniel's churches throughout Nepal need a people who can pray from a pure heart. Lord, this city, Colorado, is in fire. We need people who can pray and God will answer. So, Father, I pray for my friends, my family. I want to thank you that your purpose is to bring healing and life to us. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Whew. You're a step closer. I want to tell you what Brother Bunny would say to me after camp meetings. God bless our Crow friends and family. He would always say to me, I think he'd say, Ichikaho. And then he'd say to me, that cut me deep. It was good. And so, friends, if you feel like I've offended you and hurt you, it's because I'm trying to cut you deep so that you can be healed, so that your prayers can be answered, so your future will be glorious, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I want you to know this as well. this church loves you, this pastor loves you passionately. I wouldn't have stayed here so long if I didn't love you and believe God has a purpose for Christ Church and for Inner Court Ministries. Glory to God. God has a good thing. Let's stand on our feet. Okay, dads, have a good time today. Kick back. Whatever you do, do it. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. That's the most important thing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we worship you. We love you. We bless you. And Father, we thank you for your kindness. Father, help us to live in a way that honors you, glorifies your Son, that the Holy Spirit doesn't have to fight with us all the time. Oh, we love, want that, Lord. We want it so bad. Now, Father, we bless one another as we go. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior. Oh, be wisdom and power, might and dominion, both now and forever. Amen. Praise God. God bless you as you go. Have a great day and a great week. Hope to see you Wednesday night. Praise the Lord.